Welcome to the Machinist Therapy Hotline Christmas Special. We are drunk as fuck and we're going to tell you all about the things that you don't know about us today. So, without further ado, let's get on with the Christmas crew. We've got Tony Closter.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
We got it in my anus. It must be Seanus Poolus.
Hey.
I got alert. It's an alert. It must be a Bert Brzezinski.
Shalom.
And then there's me, Jody Tuck. Well, boo. Anyway, so let's get on with the Christmas podcast.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Welcome to the Machinist Therapy Hotline Christmas special. We have all decided that what we would like to do to show you, this wonderful listener for our podcast, we are going to tell you 5 things that you may not have known about us. We're hoping that it's not going to be all completely perverted, but we will try our best.
That's a big hope, but anyhow, here we go.
That is a big, big hope. So, okay, I think that we should do this in... Well, I don't want to be ageist here, but I think we should start with the oldest
person first.
Okay, sorry, Tony. I think that, okay.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Okay, Tony.
Okay, yes.
How many, we're going to do 5 things, yeah? 5 things?
Yeah, let's do 5. Let's do one
let's
each.
Do 5.
Let's pass it around, yeah.
Okay, so, that's good. Christmas okay. cheer.
Okay, so there's a lot of listeners I know we have, and this is a Christmas special, and a few of you may have met me here or there, or maybe have talked to me, but I doubt very many of you have. But regardless on what they say about me being an intimidating bastard or a super hard ass, I'm actually a really sensitive guy. And I have cried at Hallmark movies. And if a little girl ever walked up and asked me for anything, I'd give it to her. So I'm a sucker. Hold on, you pervert. I'm a sucker for little girls. I mean, my heart melts.
I can't. How am I going to edit this, Tony?
Don't be a fucking homo. I have 3 girls on my own. I know. And it's just like, you too, Jerry.
I know.
I just will stop what I'm doing and hand over whatever they want, whatever they need, whatever
they
ask.
Hey, we need more little girls.
Oh my God. Why?
This is number 5. It's a good one, though. So what you're saying is, hang on, what you're trying to tell us,
I'm
Tony.
I'm a sensitive motherfucker.
You are a sensitive guy, and if anyone out there that is a listener that has a young girl, you should absolutely get them to approach you and ask you for things because you would give it to them. That's what you're saying.
No, you cannot quote me on that.
That's what you just said.
No, you cannot. I didn't say anyone out there that has a little girl, bring her to me. I did not say that. I said I'm a sucker for, you know what? Fuck you. Next. Hold on. So here's how we're going to do this. You pick me, I get to pick next. I'm going straight to Seanus the Anus.
Seanus Anus. Number 5 on the things that we don't know about Seanus.
Number 5. Okay, from the ages of 22 to probably about 26, 27, I didn't drink at all. No beers.
Wow. Wow. How old are you now?
33.
I did not know that.
Well, what's her name? Actually, quite impressive.
That was a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Was it forced, or was it that you just couldn't have access to it because you were in a special place?
No, it's just I was...
Fucking Jody.
I don't want to give away some of my upcoming things.
Okay.
Just leave it at that. It wasn't forced. It was voluntary.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool. Good.
That's cool. Impressive.
That is good. Okay. That's really impressive. I like that.
So it's your turn to pick.
I will pick Jody.
Okay.
Fucking brain. The brain cells are still on point, obviously.
No, the dog was groaning, so I muted my mic.
That's what she said.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Number five. Jeepers creepers. Heap of sleepers. When I was 12 years old, my dad died of leukemia.
Damn, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I've never heard you talk about him, but I heard you talk about your mom. I've seen pictures of your mom, but I was wondering about your father.
There you go. Wow. Merry Christmas.
Okay, let's just stop.
So I thought we were being honest.
Right. Sorry. Now you should save that for fucking number one.
But what it did is
right.
It enabled me to have more confidence to put myself out there and say, do you know what? Even at 12 years old and you've got, you know, you're looking after your mom and everything, you say to yourself, life is too short. And I had that mentality from that point on. And that's how I've then led my life. So, you know, if you meet me, you'll know that I'm an easygoing. I'll do anything for you. But if you fuck me off, well, you're dog shit to me because I don't see the point in hanging around with fuckwits. I'm going to pass the ball to Bertus. Bert, go.
Here we go.
Let's see. Something that you didn't know about me. Well, ladies, I'm single.
This is not a fucking Christian.
What the hell? This is not MTH. The T doesn't stand for Tinder. This is fucking... The machinist Tinder hotline.
I can hear Bert. You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.
Fucking hell, man. What the hell just happened?
Machinist only.
Okay. Come date me and I'll put you in a new hoodie. God.
Yeah. Oh,
I guess that's one of the perks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah.
I can give him the machine concepts women's panties that I had printed up.
What?
Wow. Are you wearing them right now?
Yeah. I mean,
backwards. he's got them on backwards because he likes pain.
Yeah.
Cool. It depends, unless they're French knickers. I mean, they're nice. They're smooth. So. Anyway, sorry. Go. Tony, four.
Wait, that was actually what was Bert's again? I missed it.
I don't total that.
He said he's single. I thought everyone knew that, you know, because I don't know. I just thought everyone knew that already, but that's okay.
But you know what? Like, it was a cop out to give me more time to think about four through one.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Don't get angry about it. Right. Tony, your turn.
I had one, but Bert erased my memory, so I'm gonna have to come up with another one here.
Little girls.
Oh, my god! Just stop! Oh my god! Stop now! Okay, Tony, the fourth thing that we do not know about you.
The fourth thing that you do not know about me. I was born in Indiana, and then I moved out to California because my dad was a telephone guy. He worked for a big corporation. We moved out to California when I was 13 and I went through some serious culture shock. I moved to Windsor, California. It was a small junior high and it was heavily populated by Hispanics and they really didn't like white guys that wore glasses and wore a vest and had a cool BMX bike. And I got threatened daily and I was also a drummer. And I started out in beginning band because I'd only been a drummer back in Indiana in the sixth grade, and I moved out to, you know, California seventh grade. And so they found out that I was a pretty good drummer, so they wanted to move me to advanced band. And there was one guy that was a total stoner, and he also was like a total like fucking big time gang guy. And anyway, they wanted me to take his spot, and the only way to decide who was going to take that spot was the teacher wasn't going to make that call. So she talked to the students, and the students said, well, we want to hear them both play. So they made us do drum rolls, and they made us do random, you know, spats here, this, that, and the other, and then play with some of the other guys. And I ended up beating this guy, and this guy threatened to kill me after school, and I'm not sure I wanted the position anymore. And then later on that day, a Mexican stole my drumsticks out of my locker and smacked me on the head with them. And I was pretty much done with California and wanted to move back to Indiana. The end.
When he hit you on the head, did he do a drum roll with them as well?
He was. He's all, what are these? What are these? You're so cool. These are cool drumsticks. All, yeah, he did do a drum roll on my head.
That's amazing, because I just can't imagine you taking shit from anyone. Like, that's my vision. My vision of you is like, oh, if someone like does anything like that, you will just annihilate them. That's my vision of you, because the intimidation that you possess is incredible. Did it start from that point?
It might have. I mean, you keep bottling that shit up on the inside, and then eventually, but you know, it took me a long time to I don't know when it actually was that I came about myself and said, you know what, Tony, I don't give a fuck about what anybody else thinks about you. Because I always gave a lot about what other people thought of me. It was always about, don't do this because they'll think that. Don't do this because they'll think that. But I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I don't give a rat's ass what somebody thinks about me. And I tried to instill that in my children too. It's like, you go be you. You go do you. You have a fun time, because you know what? At the end of the day, you're the only one you have to answer to as far as what people think about you. And it's like, just be yourself. Be real. And since I started doing that, I've made a lot more friends, random people, just at a gas station or a rest park or whatever. No homos. And anyway, it was, you know, totally cool. Just live your own life and be yourself. And
yeah,
getting beat over the head with drumsticks and getting threatened because I kicked that guy's ass in a drum roll, and the band voted me in. It was exciting on one hand, but then I had to deal with the reality at the end of the day. Was this guy was like, well, you just fucking took my spot. You're going down. I'm like, well, fuck. This is, you go from happy to sad in a heartbeat. And then you're in the fucking eighth grade, man. And that's back before people were packing guns and killing each other. So,
yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's deep. That's number four.
That's number four for me. So hang on until we get to number one.
Ines, your turn.
So when I was like 16 or 17, I think it was, I got in an altercation with a gentleman, and he had like this big ring on his finger.
Oh, yep.
And I think I saw that on our post. You made a bigger ring.
Yeah. And so he hit me, and the ring made contact with one of my front teeth. Ooh. and busted it up pretty good. So about three quarters of one of my front teeth is composite.
Wow.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
I guess my story was way too fucking long.
Well, at least you didn't tell everyone that someone died.
And by the way, folks, I'm not single.
So that was number four. That's really interesting, Boomer. So, I mean, when you had this composite tooth, did you want to understand how they made it? Did you watch them make it?
So it,
fucking Jody.
It's like a pox. Like they got a and they squeeze it out and they mix it up, and then they like kind of build it on there, and they cure it with that little light, and then they take like a little Dremel, you know, a dentist Dremel, and they like shape it into a tooth. And wow. I've had to have it redone like four times because it gets knocked out or something. And one time, One of them, it was like real bad. It looked really stupid and blocky. The guy didn't do a very good job. And then,
what did he? What did he do? I just imagine you got one massive tooth, or like, it looks like a person.
It looked like, you know, the color didn't match, and he kind of he didn't shape it right. It just looked all blocky and stupid. It didn't blend in.
Wow, that's like a racist tooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, number four. Number four for me. When I was 22, I took a year and a half out, and I traveled all through Southeast Asia and all the way around Australia, like the whole of Australia. And nice. I met and I did a lot of that on my own. This was before I met my wife. And I've got to say, like, when you're in Thailand, there's a lot to do when you're a single guy.
I say that I'm single, but you, I can't say that, but you can say that you are single then. Yeah, like what kind of stuff?
I actually tell you now. So I take it back a bit. I flew into Bangkok with a friend, or two friends of mine, and we said, "Righto, we're going to start here. Like, we'll have the safety of the unit, and then after that, we'll sort of just go and do our own thing." And yeah, anyway, so I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Bangkok, but it is fucking full on. Like, it is absolutely full on. It's like, if you imagine Asia, that is. Well, that's it, because it's Bangkok. So anyhow, we went down to, we said, righto, we landed, chucked our stuff in the apartment. And then I said, righto, let's go get a beer. And I said to my mate, Jim, that I was traveling with, I said, look, we're here because we're traveling. It's not all about the, you know, the hot Asian chicks and all that stuff. It's all about, you know, the travel. And he's like, yeah, totally. I went, cool. So we got down to the bar and I said, righto, you guys sit there, I'll go get some drinks, come back, and then we can sort of assess what we're going to do. By the time I'd walked to the bar and turned round to say, oh, do you want such and such a beer? My mate Jim was already laying on the table with no top on, and there were three topless women bouncing up and down on top of him, and he's going, I fucking love Bangkok, man. I went, holy shit, you haven't even had a beer yet. What the hell is happening, man? And needless to say, it was a great night.
Wow, they wasted no time.
No, it was in like Flynn. Yeah. That was number four.
They're very efficient. I mean, lean management, they are good at.
They were very good. But someone said to me, anyone over 5'5", you probably got to worry. So yeah, I just looked for the really short people.
I saw the crying game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. That was impressive. God. All right, Bertus, number four.
Number four. Let's see here. I've had surgery on both of my shoulders.
Like, did you have implants?
Yeah, shoulder implants.
Okay. Awesome.
Robo shoulders. No, I tore both my labrums from wakeboarding, and one of my shoulders has two titanium screws and a piece of cadaver bone in it, and the other one they put these like plastic anchors in to like reattach the labrum.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. You'd have been in hospital for quite a long time.
That's kind of
what's
cool.
That
you would have been in hospital for quite a bit.
No, not really, it's an outpatient thing, but like recovery is about, you know, 5 months, 6 months or something like that. So but, you know, it was kind of challenging, like, going to work and stuff, because I still had to do that, so.
How old were you?
Let's see, the first one, I think, must have been, like, I think I was, like, 30. And then the second time was maybe, like, 34. So, yeah, I mean, not that young. I don't know, that's, like, the only, like, interesting thing I could come up with. Not super exciting.
That's great. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
You're like the bionic man.
The bionic man.
I thought you were going to say
Tony, number three.
Yes. Number three. Well, what you guys do not know about me is when I got out of Windsor Junior High, after I got started beating on my head with the drumsticks, I moved on to Hillsburg High School, and I took all the basics that I needed to require, you know, like 2 years of math was back then in the 80s. That's all you needed. And so then I started diving into auto body. You know, I was working on cars, painting cars. I had people hitting me up, paint their car next. Was dialed in. Would do a full wet sand, the full buff job afterwards. And I did take metal shop 1 year. And I fucking hated it. I thought it was stupid. And my metal shop teacher was stupid. All he ever did was talk about how one time he welded together, because it was metal shop and welding combined. And he talked about the one job that he had where he made elephant stands, that he made these metal stands that elephants would do, put their foot on and raise their trunk and do that type of shit in the circus. And he was a real ditz. But anyhow, not to blame him, but we were supposed to do this project where it was a foundry in there too. And I was going to pick one of the easiest projects ever and make an abalone measure clicker thing to make sure that they were actually on size. Well, I was starting mine. I never finished it. And so I got in late one day because I think I got thrown out of school the week before for driving around the mountain with some buddies and drinking beers and got expelled for 5 days. And so I came back. And I stole this guy's abalone measure. I mean, it was just fresh out of the mold. And I came in and nobody in the class. So I broke the mold open and I took it. And this guy had a shitload of risers on his project, like 15 versus the 4 that you needed for a little abalone clicker. Anyway, I took it and I broke the sand mold out and I took his abalone clicker and I went over to the fucking sander and I sanded up all the risers. And then I went to the wire machine and started buffing it. And I should have known, this is basically when I learned about karma. I was on a gray wheel and I was buffing it out. And the, you know, you guys know what an abalone measurer looks like. It's like a big C clamp, but one thing. And so I was buffing one side and it got sucked through the fucking gray wheel and it flipped around and it smacked me in the nuts so fucking hard. It's the first time I've ever been hit in the nuts that hard with like an abalone clicker. Just karma. full blown right to both balls. I crawled myself into the metal stock room and I laid in the corner for like an hour and people saw me there and they said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So what happened? I said, "I got hit in the balls." And like, "Okay, what happened?" I said, "Well, it hit me in the balls." Clear. So, okay, fine. So class was over. I came out, still stole the abalone clicker, put it in my locker, came back, turned it in. I didn't do a complete sanding job very well because after being hit in the balls, I didn't focus on where all the risers were. So anyway, the kid that actually made the abalone clicker, he purposely put 16 risers on it for a reason. I don't know why. So when it came down to identifying whose was whose, he saw all the little high spots where the 16 risers were and he proved that it was his. And my parents had to come in and see that I had fucked up and didn't even make one and find out that I stole one. And then found out that I laid in the metal room holding my ball sack because I was really hurt. And that was pretty humiliating to me. And I got a D minus in metal shop, but now I own my own machine shop. So here you go.
Boom. Wow. That was a great story. Yeah.
It's for real.
Well, I hope all of this is for real.
Shinus. For real.
Shinus, you can't. Are you on Wikipedia?
No.
Makes me know about Shinus.
He doesn't know what I'm up to.
Hey, Siri, tell me about Shane Paul. Or maybe you don't have that on a BlackBerry. No, sorry, Karen.
No. So I was in a band for about 10 years. In a hardcore punk band, and I played guitar, and we kind of toured all over, and it was pretty fun.
What was the band called?
We were called Plead the Fifth. We were terrible.
But you had fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Most of my 20s, I mean, it was like, you know, I'd go to work, I'd leave work, I'd immediately, like, you know, we'd meet up, we'd jam or rehearse or record or whatever we were doing. And then, you know, we'd shoot down to the Bay for someone else's show, or we'd go to Reno for a show. And so it was like, it was a really busy time, and I was kind of always on the move. So it was a lot of fun. Okay, Jody, go.
Okay, Jody, go. Okay, mine's also an injury-related one. So I, in my teenage years, I was mountain biking, and me and my buddy, we decided that we'd go into the forest and go for a wee mountain bike in the early hours of the morning. And I'm hooning down this hill, and this older couple were walking up the hill with their tiny little Yorkshire Terrier or whatever the fuck it was. Dog, I pulled off, pulled to the left, still going down. I thought, okay, I'm just going to try and jump this log. But as I tried to do that, the dog straight into a tree and snapped my femur completely in half.
Ooh.
I then woke up and I...
Here's part two of the story. I woke up and became a zombie and went into town and started chomping people on the neck and stealing their beers.
So I woke up and I had tree bark in my mouth, and there's this guy, and he's standing over me, and he's going, "Just stay still."
Wait, you should fucking back up, because I missed a lot of this story. Well, obviously you were camping with a mountain man.
No. So okay. I crashed into the tree, I broke my femur. And it knocked me clean out. And that's why I woke up and I had tree bark in my mouth. And then when I was coming to, I was like, what's going on? And there's this guy, and he's like, "Just stay still." And I was like, "Dude, get the fuck out of my tent." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" And then I looked down and my leg was facing the other way, and I never passed out again. I went, "Oh." Anyhow, so they put two titanium screws into my leg, and I had to be on traction for 6 weeks. And then I was in crutches for like basically 8 months trying to sort my leg out, because guess what? A femur is a fucking big bone in your body. And I'm not talking about any sort of stuff you might do in the toilets.
Wow. So that's why your legs are all kind of pigeon-toed and you look funny when you take pictures of yourself taking a bath.
I don't know what you're talking about, why. Tony, and I've offended me.
I was super scared about your story where you're like, "I crashed, yeah," and all of a sudden somebody shoved some bark in my mouth, and the guy said, "Hold still, son." And it's not like the fucking Deliverance movie. He's like,
"Well, I thought that's what was." I thought that's what's going to happen until I looked down and saw my foot like basically facing backwards, and I went, "Oh, well, that was it. I blacked out again." Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway,
that's a pretty fucking good one there, buddy.
It was a decent break. Decent break.
Wow.
Over to you, Bertus.
Let's see. I was going to say middle school, like 7th grade, I went to state science fair. But like it wasn't like your average science fair project. Like I was super into aviation and stuff back then. I was like building like model planes and model gliders and stuff like that. And so I did this science experiment on like lift and drag versus like different like airfoil profiles or different wing shapes. And my dad and I ended up building this fucking wind tunnel in our living room at my house. And it was probably 20 feet long. It took up the whole living room for probably, I don't know, the better part of the year. And it was just like, it was a cool like thing to go to science fair for, but holy fuck, it was, in hindsight, that was like pretty advanced for like a 7th grader.
It sounds like it.
So I don't know. That's my story that probably nobody knows about me, but I was a fucking dweeb back then.
Just back then.
No. I mean,
that's a pretty cool story though, man.
What did you do with the wind tunnel afterwards?
I'm sure that they probably still have it in their basement and will probably try to offer it to me the next time I go over there.
Really? Well, how big was it? What's the diameter?
It was like, we used like an old blower motor out of a furnace. And wow. We had, like I said, I think it was about 20 feet long. And we had this section that would like laminarize the airflow. And then we built this like test rig for like the wing shapes so that the wing would move back like in the X axis and then up in the Y axis. And we could plot it with these different airfoil shapes. It was pretty fucking crazy.
Whoa.
But I think like doing stuff like that as a kid really helped get me kind of exposed to like more technical things, like more hands-on things. And that's probably like why I do like half the shit that I do today.
More technical. You built a fucking wind tunnel in your living room. Yeah, I mean, that's like, already pretty technical.
I mean, yeah, like cool. my dad helped me and stuff, like, but it was still a very cool project to like, you know, get a kid involved in like science and technology and stuff, you know.
That must have been so nice to do that with your dad. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He and I were, like, super close when I was young.
And then what happened?
Oh, no, I didn't want to ask that.
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay, good.
All right. I'm, like, fucking old.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, because enough. I know Jody was going to ask that, so I decided to anyway.
Yeah, good call. So...
This isn't like a therapy hotline, but it actually kind of is. So.
You're exactly right.
Oh, okie dokie dokie. Number two. Tony.
Oh, this is number two? Fuck, I thought we were on number one by now. Okay, so number two. I do believe in ghosts. I do believe in spirits or whatever you want to call it.
Sorry. Go on.
Are you done?
Sorry, go on. No, I was thinking about something else.
Okay, so one night, we've lived in this house for a long time, and Katie and I are in bed, and our window above our head is open. And the two older girls have moved out, and all we have left in the house is the youngster, Jazzy. She's in high school. But we had been falling asleep with, like, the TV silent sleep timer, just some random noise, you know, because we live kind of in a quiet area and it's super way quiet. And so the TV's on sleep timer and we're listening to, like, Three's Company or something. And it eventually goes out.
And come and knock on our door.
And Mr. Furley comes in and collects rent and then, yeah, check you out. And so anyhow, the TV goes off. And so it's super dead quiet. And so I'm laying there on my pillow, and I don't know if Katie's awake or not, but I'm laying there, and the window's open. It's summer night. And it sounds like not outside the window, but right above my head and Katie's head, a whispering voice said, "Mom." I'm like, what the fuck was that, Mom? Okay, two older girls are gone. They're in different towns. The little one's in her room. And I just said to Katie, I said, "Are you awake?" And she's all, "Yeah." I said, "Did you hear that?" And she's all, "Yeah." I said, "What did it sound like?" And she said, "Someone said, Mom." And I fucking went ape shit. And I jumped out of the bed and I fucking ran down my hall. First thing I did was hit that little girl's room, make sure she was not outside, being kidnapped on a hill, dragged off by some stranger going, "Mom." She was sound asleep. I freaked her out. I came back to Katie and I told her, I said, "I don't know what the fuck that was, but the fact that you heard it and I heard it and it was above our heads and not outside the window was pretty freaky. Do you agree?" And she said, "Yeah." And after that, we moved our bed across the room and up against the wall.
Did you find out what it was?
No. Still to this day, I have no fucking idea. I do believe in spirits and ghosts. And I thought it was one of my kids trying to tell me something or call for help. But I don't know what the fuck it was. But it definitely said, "Mom."
It might have been a mining bird.
Yeah, definitely.
Carry on.
Definitely.
They just fly around randomly yelling, "Mom."
Yeah. That night. They might have done. I don't know. Who could have been. I don't know. It's you instantly jump to ghost. Like,
well, if somebody's floating above your head,
television
in the middle of the night when it's pitch black and something's inside your house above your head saying, "Mom," What the fuck do you think it is?
It could have been a hoo-hoo grub.
It could have. Okay, I'm done with your stories. It could have been a hoo-hoo-woo-hoo. I don't know what the fuck, but it still gives me shivers. It still gives Katie shivers. It was fucking scary shit.
Yeah.
It was. It was real. I mean, it was like, I don't know if you guys experienced anything like that in your life, but I used to live in Indiana on a farm, and my dad used to make it a living just to scare the shit out of me and my cousins and brothers all the time. It's like, we're going to go fishing tomorrow, so you guys need to go out and get night crawlers. You know, take your flashlights out there, because I watered the lawns, so they're coming up good. And sure enough, they were. We're pulling worms out and putting them in dirt. He's hiding in the cornfields, hiding behind trees. He's scaring the ever-loving fucking shit out of us. So, yeah, that's my whole life in a nutshell.
Wow. That's number two.
That's number two.
Shyness.
When I was like 8 or 9 years old and I was in the Cub Scouts, me and my dad built a Pinewood Derby car and we cheated.
I know.
You know how Albert's story was really cool and heartwarming? This is your version.
So he had a friend that had like a pretty cool shop, was in like built a bunch of stuff with four-wheel drives and built like some pretty cool trucks and stuff. And so they give you these like shitty plastic wheels.
Way shitty.
And they go on these nails that you like pound into these grooves.
All rickety and shit.
Yeah. So we went to this guy's shop and I didn't do anything. I just stood there like, you know, watching TV or something in his office. But they bored out the center of the wheels and then they like made these little Teflon inserts and they pressed them in there and then they kind of bored them out and then they like honed them on the nail. So it was just like, you know, super nice. And then he made like this little piece. And when you go to one of those things, they weigh your car to make sure that, you know, it falls within the thing. And so they weighed my car and then he like kind of sleight of hand after they weighed it and it looked all good. He like pulled this piece out and then shoved the other one in there that was full of lead weights.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, that's not cheating. That's racing.
They should have weighed your car after the race.
Yeah. No, it was way heavier. And it was when they would drop the little gate, and I think they did like 5 or 6 cars at a time. I mean, mine would just like pull out like 6 car lengths in front of all the other ones.
Oh, dude.
And I don't know if they knew something was going on or what, but yeah, we won.
I would have protested.
Well, I would have protested.
Pop the hood.
Fuck, I totally lost my train of thought, man. That was such a good story.
needless to say, when Felix wins in Cub Scouts, we're going to know why.
Oh, definitely. We're going to make little Vespel wheels and everything.
Sweet.
Torlon bushings.
Exactly. Okay, Jody, number two.
Two.
So when I was 12, I broke my neck and butt at the same time.
Because I was trying to do something cool.
It was called yoga. And it still didn't work.
I always had visions of being the ultimate sword swallower, and off I went.
I knew it.
Oh, you knew it. What the fuck? Actually, I do have a horrific story. Well, I might save it for number one because it is right disgusting.
How much more shit do you have left you can possibly break?
It is disgusting. I'll save it for number one. Okay.
Right.
I always wanted to be an architect. Always wanted to be an architect. And I don't know. We had this school experience where you could go and I think I might have actually said this on a podcast before actually. So this is probably something people do know. But anyway, I say it. So I had this work experience where, you know, you go from school and you can go, you spend 2 weeks at a career that you think you'd like to do. And I must have picked maybe the wrong architects, but I went to this architect place, and it was boring. Like the guys there were just boring. No one was having fun. They were just, I had this vision of, oh, we're going to design something amazing, and then it's going to be built, and then people are going to enjoy it, and it's going to change people's lives. And the reality is that, yeah, there are some architects that do that and they have that ability, but there's also a lot of architects that they have to design an office, or they have to do a car park. And I suddenly went, oh no, what if I'm not a very good architect and I have to design toilet blocks? Or I have to design, I don't know. It just suddenly, it.
Well, that would be pretty shitty.
Exactly. And it could be, you know. Yeah, just shitty. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I always wanted to be an architect, but I ended up being an international superstar instead.
International superstar. Well, that's not much to ask, I guess.
No. No, you, I end up you, becoming you, part of a podcast with three other dipshits.
Well, in that vision, were you wearing a cape?
Backwards.
Of course.
Yeah, and we called it a barbecue vest instead. Okay, number two, over to you, Albert.
You okay there?
Yeah, sorry, I was stuttering. Yeah, carry on.
You sounded like Hannibal Lecter for a second. Right, yeah, so probably most people know that I'm into like water sports, like wakeboarding or whatever. But when I, the very, very, very first time I ever tried anything water sports related, I must have been like 7 or 8 years old or something. I was pretty little, and I was up at my cousin's lake house and, tried to get up on water skis for the first time, and it was a complete failure. So like I got pulled over the front and I panicked and I didn't let go, so I'm being dragged under the water, but it was really shallow where we were at, so the engine from the boat was just kicking up all types of like mud and muck and whatever the fuck was on the bottom of the lake into my face basically. And so I come up from like underwater and I've got like mud in my nose and my ears and stuff. I was totally traumatized. And now you can't keep me away from it. So, yeah. Maybe, you know, like Tony said, he fucking hated shop class the first time he took it.
Yeah. There you go, man.
That's a great story. And you, like, obviously, you do a lot of wakeboarding, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what, I mean, in the summer, like we have maybe 4 months, if we're lucky, of like good weather. So try to get out and enjoy it as much as possible.
What do you do in the winter to keep yourself, you know, wakeboard trained?
I like go to the gym and work out like kind of regularly, or there's a couple like little hills that we can go snowboard at locally. It's just something to do to get out and kind of do something physical, exercise, you know, hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
Because, like, around here, like, in the wintertime, it gets so, like, nasty cold. Tony, I'm sure you can attest to this, having grown up in Indiana. Like, most people kind of just, like, hibernate in the winter. Like, there isn't shit going on.
No, there's not. The ground's frozen, and it's just miserable to go outside.
Yep. You just hunker down, you work, and, you know, maybe you go do something outside, like, every once in a while. So, yeah.
Well, we have reached it. Number one of the things that you don't know about us, Tony, give it to us, big boy.
Number one, you guys might not know that I have been married more than once. And exactly. Like I said, I went to high school, married my high school sweetheart. I was straight out of high school and was
together for 13 years and then that dissolved and then met a girl that was working at the shop that I was working at back in 98. But at the time, I had already had a daughter of my own. She was two and a half. And this girl that I met, she had been married and divorced also. And she had a daughter that was 2 and a half. You know, one was born in October, one was born in December. And so after a period of time, you know, me going through my separation / divorce and her already being through hers, we both learned a little bit about each other and that we knew that they, you know, we're both single. And so we went out and had a couple of dates here and that and the other. And then it worked out because we had shared custody with our exes. So the weekends were with the kids were gone on the same weekends. And then the other weekends we had alone to ourselves. And so we got to make some runs to Reno and hang out and do cool shit together. And, you know, I dug her right from the beginning. And I just, you know, like I said, I'd been together with my ex-wife for 13 years and thought that, you know, it was for sure the golden ticket there, you know, high school all the way through. And that didn't work out. So, you know, I'm the second girl I met. I said, you know, I've got some big feelings for you. And I think that I've pretty much fallen in love with you. And I think we should carry this on. And she's all, what makes you say that? And I said, well, you know, it just is what it is. And I said, you've been married and divorced too. I said, here's the deal. We make this commitment. We stick to it together. There is no, we don't want to do this anymore. We want to get divorced. It's like, we're in it to win it. We're going to be together. If somebody wants out, they have to kill the other person. And she agreed to it. She totally agreed to it.
Wow.
And so with agreeing to that, we still had our free weekends if we wanted to, but we liked each other so much that we decided to have one of our own. So it'd be hers, mine, and ours. And so she says, you want to do it? And I said, yeah, I want to do it. I want to have one of ours together. And so I winked at her and boom.
That's all it takes, huh?
That's all it takes.
She was pregnant. We had our baby Jazzy and we lived happily ever after.
You got to take note, but.
Yeah, I'm that man. You piqued my interest here. How long were you single after your divorce?
6 months, maybe.
Wow. No rebound for Tony.
No. Like I said, awesome. After 13 years, you know, you're thinking that's the shoe in, that's for real. But, you know, I felt really solid about this. So I jumped on it before it got away.
That's great.
Literally. Man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, it's your turn. Sorry. Number one for Shanus.
Yeah, give me the proper introduction.
Sorry. Yeah. And next up on the things that you don't know about us, Shanus is number one's thing you don't know about
him. All right, so my phone's on 1%, so I'm going to make it quick.
Oh, shit.
So I have this strange, like, uncanny ability to either, like, watch a movie once or hear a song once, and I can memorize the entire thing.
What?
Nice.
Yeah.
That is actually amazing.
And I can remember it years later, even after seeing it once.
That explains why you're the only person that always understands my movie quotes.
Yeah, it's
fucking awesome. That is the most amazing thing.
If it's a movie like I really like I can recite the entire movie to you. Like if you want me to sit down and like write the script out for like Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Tommy Boy, I can do it.
Tommy Boy.
Wow. That like you literally this is a Christmas episode. Like our previous episode you peaked because you said one of the most intelligent things you've ever said. And now I understand that you're actually a secret intelligent person because you're hiding the fact that you're fucking super amazing.
Oh, I don't know if I'm super intelligent because I'll also like
okay, repeat I'll agree myself. With that.
Yeah. Also I'm repeat joking. Myself a lot. And
yeah.
I'll tell like the same story and people will just be like, yeah, I know. Like my wife does it all the time. I tell her the same shit and she's like, you told me that like, you know, a while back. And I was like, oh, yeah. Did I? Oh, sorry.
That's the equivalent. It does.
Is it only ever, so it's only ever movies that you can remember, like not anything else?
I mean, really anything that I read or you know, see.
God, you would have so many programs in your head.
Oh no, not anything useful. I mean, it's usually just completely useless shit that that I can, you know, store away.
That makes
none sense. None of the good shit.
Fuck, I wish you'd gone last, because I'm like how do we go after that? That's pretty, I can't say, oh, I can see through walls, or I can fucking chop a tree down with my hand and turn it into a canoe and make my fucking feet into fucking super speedboat feet. I can't do any of that.
Well, I don't think anyone can turn their feet into super speedboat feet, but...
But then maybe they can.
Oh, I want to know if the movie The Other Guys is in your data bank there, Boomer.
The Other Guys? I haven't seen that one.
I'm a Peacock. You gotta let me fly. Not with fucking Will Ferrell and Marky Mark.
I know of it. I've just never seen it.
Oh, that movie rocks.
Brokeback Mountain.
You guys.
Whoa. I've never seen that one either.
Me neither.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever. Guys,
I can't quit you.
Albert's trying to say something.
Sorry,
I'm
Albert.
Freaking out, guys. I'm absolutely mortified. I have fucking nothing. I got nothing. I know it's not even my turn yet, but I got fucking nothing, man.
I love it. I can hear you trembling.
Just absolute paralyzed in fear right now.
I love it.
Well, Shane just told us that he has a fucking, like, a fucking computer for a memory on useless films. Like,
don't even get him started on the adult films.
I don't even know how to compete with that. I could tell you, like, all I had was this stupid story about what I tried to do to get back to this really horrible girlfriend I had once, and I don't want to tell it because this is too good.
So don't tell it.
Well, for all you know, Shane's story is fake news. It could be fake. You just make something up on your own, man.
I can't make something up. We have sincerity.
I didn't make anything up either. Mine was for real, obviously.
Fuck. Okay. Now, mine's actually, you know, it's...
Come on, man. Get deep. Go deep.
Okay. So, like, a long, long time ago, way before I met my wonderful wife that I have now, I had this girlfriend, and she was, I think, possibly the spawn of the devil. I think she was, I don't know what it was, but anyway, you know, when you don't, you know that she's wrong, but you stay there anyway, and you don't know why the fuck that is. It's just like this thing that's in your head, and you go, oh, it's okay. And even though, you know, it's, everything's wrong, you still stay.
No, I've never done that ever.
Yeah, right. You're living that now.
Well, anyway, so anyway, things were coming to a head, you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know why I thought this. It popped up into my head. And at the time, when I was probably 4 or 5 beers deep, I went, this is a great idea. This is what I'm doing. Like, I'll show her, and she won't know that I've shown her, but it's good because I've got it. So I pulled out her dildo from the drawer, and I went, I'll put just the tip in my bum, and then I'll put it back in the drawer.
So, why?
You could have just put hot sauce on it. What the fuck?
So I convinced myself. I went, this will teach her. So I went, boop, and then I realized that fucking hurts, and it's not the thing to do. And then I was paralyzed almost in the bathroom with the tip of this thing hanging out my bum. And I went, oh shit, what am I going to do? I don't want to go to the hospital.
You're making this shit up, man. I cannot believe this.
I'm not making this up. I'm telling you now. And I went, fuck, what am I doing? Because
okay,
like,
hold on. What guy in the right mind would say, I'll show her, let me stick this in my ass?
But it didn't go all the way in. I just went, I'll just put the bit in.
It doesn't matter how far it went. It's the whole thought process. What the fuck?
Yeah, so dude, anyway.
Why, Why couldn't you just put some Icy Hot on it like any other normal human being would have done?
I don't know. I just... No, anyhow.
Put my butt juice on.
So fucking I thought... So anyway, I managed to get it out. It took fucking 30 minutes of just me wondering what the hell I'm doing. And then, and I was like, okay, now I just got to clean it a little bit. And then I put it back in the special drawer. And then she'll take it away and go, oh my God, I must be really smelly because it smells like poo.
That was your whole plan.
There was no logic to what I was doing. But anyway, I'm pretty sure no one else knows about that apart from everyone that listens to this podcast now.
You know what? I wished I didn't fucking know about that.
Oh, well, it is what it is. Anyway, I'm...
I'll show her. She's going to whip this out and say, oh, my God, it smells so bad.
I mean, God. I'm thinking the entire time of something to come up with, and now I have to follow that. First of all, I have nothing. Second of all, how the fuck do you follow that?
Well, you've either got to have a photographic memory or a perpetuity for things in your possum. Otherwise, you've got to think of something else. What else have you done, Burtis? Come on, man. You've done some crazy stuff. I know you're out there.
Help me out, man.
Have you ever had a girl tie you up?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Not yet. Have you?
Oh.
Not yet. I thought you said yeah. What? I was waiting for more. I thought you said yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I was just trying to help, Bert.
Yeah.
That was a good question.
Have you ever crashed a car?
No.
Oh. Have you ever crashed a boat?
Nope. Haven't done one either.
You're right. You are a bit boring.
Have you ever been Hank Curious?
Hank Curious. Not sure I know what that is.
Well, you're the one that invented that fucking word.
True. Have you ever gone out with more than one girl at the same time?
You mean like had a fucking threesome?
Yeah.
That's not what he meant, but we'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take it. Have you?
What do you mean then?
Well, when you go out with more than one girl at a time, it means I'll see you on Tuesday, and then I'll see you on Thursday. It's not that complicated.
You're like anyhow, a P-layer.
I'm pretty sure that's called dating in the year 2019.
Oh, okay. What are you thinking, Jody? Jesus,
I don't know. Christ. Things have progressed a lot further than when I was on that scene.
So what do you... We go from dating two girls at once to having a threesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's way more interesting. Threesome.
Yeah.
Albert,
let's go.
Go. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. This is a hell of a fucking topic. Let's see. I think I was like 20 or 21, and I was at this party at my friend's house. It was this chick that I was like kind of seeing. She was like a lot younger, so it wasn't like really serious or anything like that. We would just like hook up, and so we're at this party and like everybody's drinking, and this girl's drunk and her friend was drunk too, and they like basically just like all of my friends were there too, and like this girl just grabbed me and she pulled me in the bedroom with the other girl. She's like, Albert, you need to come in here right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right guys, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And just went with them. I was like, fuck, if this is how it's going to go down, like, this is how it's going to go down. This is awesome.
Was
so it? I just kind of rolled with it. Like, this is the only time that's ever happened and only time I ever did that. But it was, you know, like when you're fucking young like that, I mean, sometimes, I don't know, shit happens when you're at a party. Wow.
How much, like, was there like more kissing on their sides, like with each other? And you were in the corner. I need to know this stuff.
See here, man, this is fucked up because this shit's going to be public.
Don't worry about it. Boomer can remember everything, and I put things in my bottom.
Did anybody try to stick anything in your butt just a little bit?
No.
To show them who's boss.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was it was good. It was not so much girl on girl stuff. I think okay. I'll leave it at that.
Well, do you know what? This has been our Christmas special, and oh by Jove, has it been a very entertaining special bonus podcast for everybody out there over Christmas. So remember, yeah. Boys and girls, if you didn't get a bonus this year, you just got one. Boom.
Yes, you did.
Wow, you had to throw the boom in there too, didn't
just
you?
Just the tip.
Yeah.
Just the tip.
Just the
tip of the boom.
So I think we should go and spend time with our families, and you guys should go and spend time with your families cooking turkey and eating potatoes. And we will all see you in 2020. We can't wait. We hope that you all have a great new year.